Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local man who now lives and works in Alaska is about to embark on one of the greatest endurance races in the world, the Iditarod. Let's go in depth with Deke Knockaborn, who lives off the grid, 30 miles north of Fairbanks, Alaska.
So, Deke, you've got a big race coming up.
Yeah, sure do.
The Iditarod, like it's the biggest race of them all, right? It's, you know, it's a long race, incredible race, draw all of the world's attention.
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl of mushing, and has the very, very best competition from around the world. It's our biggest race in the sport. So,
and you're originally from Pella. Tell us a little bit about how you got into this. I know we've done this before, but some people will be listening for the first time.
Well, back in college, I adopted a Siberian Husky, which is the blue-eyed, beautiful kind of Disney dog that you might have just seen in the movie Togo, and I always say the instruction manual that came with him, figuratively, said he must exercise an hour every day. So I took that literally, and I ran him for an hour every day, and that kind of sparked an interest in the breed, and I started reading books, and things progressed. And then about 5 years later, I found myself in northern Sweden above the Arctic Circle handling for an Iditarod musher. And a couple more years later, I was able to land a job in Fairbanks where I get my winters off, and bought a team of 12 dogs. And since then, I'm up to 41 dogs, and I've had five of my own litters. So basically everything is about where it's all mine now. So everything that I've put into it, it's kind of all mine now. So here I am in my kind of third year of racing, and I'm going to do the Iditarod this year, which has been a dream for at least a decade.
This is the big one. This will be your first Iditarod.
That's correct, yep. My first Iditarod and my second 1,000-mile race.
And how did you do that first 1,000-mile race last year?
I did really, really well. I was really happy with how I did. I got 16th place at a 30 entrant, so right there in the middle of the pack, I was totally happy for my rookie run. And I survived an epic blizzard on one of the hardest summits in all of mushing called Eagle Summit. And there was a lot of stories and media and stuff that kind of covered it. And me and four other mushers kind of went through that together. And that was kind of the crux of the race, but also the highlight of the race. And I'll be taking all the dogs from last year's Yukon Quest, which is a 14-dog race. So I'll be taking 13 of those 14 dogs on this year's Iditarod.
So they're used to it.
Yeah.
Sort of. How can you get used to it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, so last year I raced over 2,000 miles in races alone. So the dogs probably had somewhere around 4,000 to 5,000 miles on them in total between races and training. And I'm well on my way to that, too, this year. So I guess just by training them like a marathon athlete or something, they're getting used to it. And we're also, you know, we practice camping and stuff. It was 40 below last night, and we were out at 4 in the morning laying in the straw, you know, just to get used to the cold and the routine of camping and run, rest, and repeat kind of thing. So, yeah.
Wow.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the Iditarod with Deke Knockaborn.
You got to tell me how you wrangle 41 huskies, 41 dogs.
Well, it wasn't supposed to happen, but this summer I had two unplanned litters, and they happened to be born 6 days apart. So I had 8 dogs, and then 6 days later I had 6 more. So that went, you know, that took me from, you know, a nice, comfortable high 20s to 41, like in a matter of a week. I need some help, and I plan on having some help soon after the Iditarod. A lot of mushers that get into the 40s or 50 number of dogs, they'll have a handler come in and help with the day-to-day chores, and then also run kind of the second team, the B team. So yeah, these puppies are 6 months old, and they're going to be needing a lot of training when I get done with the Iditarod. And I can't wait. It's going to be really, really fun to work with them. But hopefully I can find some good help this summer, and hopefully that leads into good help next winter.
Well, it's fascinating. The Iditarod, I mean, it just draws all this international media attention. It's just quite remarkable. Does that get in your way?
I think so. So the Iditarod is it's like kind of a state fair type atmosphere. I've actually never been to the start, so I'll be going to the start for the first time and also running it for the first time. But the actual race starts on March 8th, but there's a parade on March 7th that goes through downtown Anchorage. And, I mean, they even bring in a Ferris wheel and everything for this. And you know, thousands and thousands of people, I guess, line the streets. And so, yeah, so it's going to be a lot of noise the first few days with the meetings and the parade. And then once it starts on the 8th, it'll be all business. So,
when you're looking for sponsors, how can I sponsor?
So I have a few sponsorship opportunities. I just did a T-shirt campaign. I have dogs on my website, deekdogs.com, that you can sponsor a dog, different levels of dogs at different prices. But I'm really looking for business sponsors, too, something that I can help put their product on my sled, on the dog coats, on my parka, and that'll be visible all the way through the race. And a lot of international attention, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people watch it. It's such a unique sport. And more people have summited Mount Everest than finished the Iditarod. So it's a very, very unique event.
Yeah, well, and we can just go to your website, right, to figure out how to do that, sponsor, you know, any businesses that might want to sponsor.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple website. It's deeksdogs.com, and for more up-to-date news as the race is progressing or other races that I might do or training, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/deeksdogs or /deeksdogs, and yeah, that's the most up-to-date way to follow and see what's going on. So
more in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about the Iditarod with Deke Knockaborn.
Well, tell us what makes a good dog for dog racing.
So I'll just give you an example of this dog named Marley. Marley came to me. A lot of people have probably seen Life Below Zero on TV, but he came to me from a very popular musher named Jesse Holmes as a year old last year. And Marley is a ferocious eater. He has the best winter coat of any of my dogs. He has really tough feet. He pulls and pulls and pulls and never stops. But most importantly, he's really, really friendly. So those kind of characteristics Marley all has. And, that's what we were always looking for in a good dog or a good sled dog. And the friendly aspect is so crucial. Nothing's worse than having, like, you know, 10 dogs that don't like each other. So it makes it more stressful. And when we have 14 dogs that all are happy and having fun, it's a lot better. So Marley will be in my Iditarod race. He'll be 2 years old, and he's becoming one of my main leaders. So, yeah.
What's it feel like when you're mushing? That's what you call it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I mean, how do you start? Let's just go through a training run. How do you start? How do they know when to go? There's commands you use.
Yeah. So I always say my favorite thing about mushing is being 10 miles down the trail with my sled bag packed, and whatever happens, it's going to be me and the dogs, and we're going to take it on, and we're going to take care of each other, and we're going to get through it. But before that 10 miles, I go around the dog yard and I booty every single dog, put dog boots on it, each single dog, and then put the correct size harness on the dog. And then a lot of dogs have different things that they need in addition. One dog wears a T-shirt because she gets a little bit of rub in her armpits. We have foxtails that we put on some of the boys to protect sensitive parts, kind of like a fur ruff for their bellies. And so it takes about 45 minutes to an hour to get them all dressed up. And then it's chaos. Like, that is when I'm putting the dogs on the line, it is utter chaos, at least for my team. Some people are a lot better than me at training their dogs to be calm, but I'm not. And my dogs are completely chaotic. So when I'm putting the dogs on the line, everyone's barking, screaming, they're pulling, they're just so excited to run. And then finally I get everyone hooked up and I pull the snow hook, which is like your parking brake, and it's like getting shot out of a rocket. And those first 10 miles until I get to kind of wear the edge off, it is pure adrenaline and stress, and I'm doing everything I can to break them and keep them slowed down. So, so yeah, and then once we get to the 10 miles and life's good, I'm in my happy place, and it gets pretty, you know, it's run 50 miles, rest 5 hours, lay out straw, put their coats on, take booties off, feed them, and then let them sleep, and then do it all over again. And that's how it'll go over and over and over on these 1,000-mile races. So we're looking, you know, to finish a 1,000-mile race, these dogs are going to have 20 to 25 runs, which means I have to put the jackets on 20 to 25 times, booty them 20 to 25 times, feed them, you know, at least 50 times, twice as many times, you know. So there's a lot of chores between the runs that the musher has to do.
And do you haul all that, or are there stops where you pick up stuff?
Yeah, so on Monday, I have 26 drop bags that all have to be flown out by bush planes to all the villages along the Iditarod route. And so this weekend, I'm going to be preparing those drop bags and trying to predict what I need as far as the dogs and as far as me. I ordered 10 Papa John's pizzas, for example, and they're freezing right now, and I'm going to cut them up, and I'm going to put them in vacuum-sealed bags, and that'll be some of the food that I eat out on the trail. And then all the meat and the kibble and the booties and the batteries and so on and so forth will be in those drop bags. So, and planning for 26 checkpoints is a lot. Yukon Quest, but last year, only has, I think, 12 checkpoints. So it's...
Wow.
A lot more drop bags to plan for. So,
well, and so if you prepare wrong, you're just in big trouble.
Yeah, adapt and overcome. So it's that's what makes it so stressful. It's like packing your luggage for a vacation that you're gonna, you know, you want to make sure you don't forget anything. So and you can't go buy it, you know. So just have to be really articulate in planning the drop bags. So
what's it like? I mean, is there a perfect time? Is there a perfect place where you get, like, at one with the dogs and the environment?
Yeah, we refer to that as our, like, magic carpet ride or whatever. And I experienced that for the first time last year. First time last night, excuse me. We were breaking trail for, I don't know, 30 miles. And breaking trail is when there's no trail and we're going through fresh snow. It's really hard. And I just looked out across my team, and everyone was perfectly working the same, and it just looked like a train. Everyone was in sync. Everyone was pulling nice and hard. Everyone was eating their snacks really well, and it was beautiful out. And we always try to find those special moments where it's just like the world's right, and the dogs are eating and having fun. The tails are wagging, you know, so... So, yeah, that's what we're always looking for, which, yeah, is addictive. It's super addictive.
Well, we wish you many magic carpet rides as you take on the Iditarod, the Iditarod for the very first time. Wow, Deke.
Thank you very
good
much.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Will you call and let us know how you did?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Yeah, and also every sled on the Iditarod has a GPS tracker. A lot of the people that have followed races are pretty familiar with it, but it's really addictive to, like, my dad, for example, doesn't sleep. He just keeps kicking the refresh button on the internet to see if I moved the mile. And so it's a really nice way to be able to follow the race, too. It's pretty engaging. So.
Yeah, I can see your dad doing that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So.
Well, good luck, Deke. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Deke Knockaborn for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.